Blog Talk Radio.
This is Greg Farrell. Welcome to my show. Today is Wednesday, or I'm sorry, it is Thursday. I'm a little behind here. It's 6 p.m. on Central Time. I'm just doing my show today. today we're going to be talking about, well, you know, there's too many things we're going to be talking about today, or should be, you know, people should be talking about it. But today I pick. You know, I pick topics because I can do that. I am the Great Inferno. That's they call me that. Things I want to talk about first of all is the the Mumbai attacks. I just want to spend a little time on that. The a lot of people dead, unfortunately, died in the attack. And there's another terror attack on that. And there's, people to blame. There's, obviously there's people that need to be, responsible for such such attack. Today I'm reading on the news today that there was a nanny that escaped from all that commotion. And then, people calls her like the daring nanny who, is actually, saved the 2-year-old boy. And, she, managed to, pushed, throughout that, through the terrorist Mumbai and, risk her life, just to keep the toddler safe. And now that's to me, that's a heroic, move by this lady, she's brave. I mean, I gave her, two thumbs up on that, and kind of a little, moved by that, and her name is Sandra Samuel, she bravely saved her life in the mosque and held her she needs definitely a nationwide attention from people, especially those who follow this news. And she said that even today I'm thinking I should have sent the baby and done something for the rabbi and his wife. This is one just talking to the CNN, an exclusive television interview in Israel, where she now lives. Samuel and Moshe, apparently this is the little boy, were among the few to make it out in Shabbat's house alive after the gunman stormed the Jewish center, killing the Holzbergs and 4 others. And, so you read through this news and, what's going on. And, it's pretty impressive. And I am impressed. My heart goes out to those who died and to their family. And, I can't really, I pray and my praise goes out to them. First off, we're going to be taking some callers. I'm going to go ahead and do it with the caller number one. Caller number one, go ahead. Who is this? Hello? Are you there?
Fernando?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Tom.
Tom Murphy, the Murph Man. You're online, dude.
Oh, cool. How are you today?
Yo, online. I'm pretty good. How are you today?
A little under the weather, but I'm surviving.
Oh yeah, we all do, man. I am a little, myself, just kind of coming down to something. But I have a little coffee over here. I'm getting some tea later on, and then she'll take care of it. Now I'm.
Yeah.
We're talking about the probably you should know this, and it's all over the news, the Mumbai attack. And I'm talking about the lady that that's escaped, passed through that havoc in a terrorist Mumbai hotel, and it's pretty moving to me that she actually she risked her life to save the toddler's life. I mean, that's pretty moving. What do you take on that?
Well, I mean, obviously.
Done the same thing?
What's that?
Would you have done the same thing? I mean, to save people's life.
Well, sure. I mean, first and foremost, it's a fantastic action. You know, I couldn't. You know, I don't know if I'd have been able to do the same thing. I like to think
right.
I could, but I mean, it's a great act of human kindness that you don't see too often anymore.
No, you don't.
And like I said, I'd like to think I could do the same thing, without standing in those shoes, though I don't know that I could.
Right.
But it definitely is a terrific act of kindness.
Mm-hmm. And it's there's good, heart people out there that would go through that. Besides, And like I said, I'm really thankful that there's people out there that willing to help, people cops and firemen out there that are risking their life to save people. And I want to move on because these are I want to move on here. I want to talk about. I'm sorry.
Getting a little deep, huh?
Yeah, a little deep over here. So I want to move on and get this thing fired up. We got so many things I want to talk about here. I'm getting callers right now. And I want to jump in real quick. I want to go back to the Black Friday. You guys about the Black Friday, how crazy it gets, and people just especially the shoppers that goes out there and they risk. I mean, they just act crazy. You know, this is.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know if you heard about this outside New York at one of the Walmart store, and who there was a worker that got stamped on
trampled to death.
You heard that in the news?
People coming through the doors. Yeah, I heard that on the radio the other day, mm-hmm. It was like the next day after Black Friday on Saturday. They were saying that the. Well, the Walmart, it's not one of those 24-hour ones. They close and open in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many people waiting outside to get in that when he opened the door, the mob just trampled him to death.
Yeah.
And,
and
I think it's
dude,
just
a, yeah, the dude was trying to protect. The dude was trying to protect the a pregnant lady who, unfortunately, was one of the people that got hurt. It was like four people that got hurt there, And the question is that something that do we have to apply some kind of force or a cops involved in that on the Black Friday, Tom?
Well, I don't believe law enforcement is necessary for a Black Friday. Now, I'm assuming you're talking about police being there when the store opens,
riot gear, anything like that.
I don't think we need, a full SWAT team protecting the Tickle
right.
Me Elmo aisle.
so we don't need to jump in a gun there. Yeah.
No, but what I think the whole thing is caused is just by, our sheer greed, to be able to say, Fernando, I'm going to get to that, TV before you, no matter what. I think it's just, it's a terrible look at society and how society is right now. Everybody is so greedy, and not to jump, to a different topic, but I think it's the same reason with the oil companies. That's why
exactly.
Gas prices were so high, because they want to make money hand over fist,
Yep.
And
that'll do it,
I just think it's a shame that our society is in this sort of trend that, you know, people are getting killed over, you know, a TV.
Over a TV or over something and getting it like a discount, you know.
Right.
Now, I want to jump on another caller over here. I believe this is Don. And what's your take on this, Don? Is this something that really, I mean, you went out for a big shopper and spent like $1,000s and what's your take on this? Is that people should like just, you know, be kicked out, or I mean, I don't know what do you say about this? What do you take on this?
Well, I think that several things. Like, I think that you definitely need Lord's help to have maintain your calmness, you know, and the, like, excitement. And especially in a big city, like, maybe I'm thinking it's a big city Walmart that happened at, which is, like, really sad what happened.
Well,
the
thing is, it wasn't even a 24-hour Walmart. It wasn't, like, a super Walmart, we have in a big city.
Well, even if it is a super Walmart, they usually close on Thanksgiving early to prepare the sell signs. So even if it was a 24-hour, they would have still been closed. That's like over here too, and we live in a small town, you know, so it's
right.
I went to Kohl's with three kids. People were really surprised that I brought like three young kids with me to the store, and everybody, like, actually when I first got there, there wasn't a lot of people, and then when I got out, like within 15 minutes later, like, it was a block of people, but people were like really calm, you know. I talked to a couple people in line, you know,
real calm from the outside.
Yeah.
Well, the door's open.
Even so, like, people seem to be, like, filing in, like, really calmly, like, nobody was, I mean, I didn't see anybody pushing. Actually, when I got in, because I was towards the end of the line, like, right before I got to the lady that had the bags, because all the, like, carts were gone, I had to carry stuff, you know. I kind of knew to expect that, so that's why I brought some helpers, too. Far as, like, policing, I think that it would be helpful in big cities. But it's not worth it over a couple hundred dollars to put somebody's life at risk. I mean, really,
exactly.
A couple hundred bucks, you know.
Right, and the police were, like, actually reviewing the store video, and there was a footage of it, and to just identify the possible suspects or what they could find. And then the police commissioner was saying that the likelihood that anyone would, you know, not be held responsible or criminally liable for it. Tom, do you think that's something that I think they can sue, right? I mean, there's a lawsuit against the Walmart, and you know, they're suing the city also. Is that liable? Do you think they can win, the family of this person?
Well, from a legal standpoint, I can't see the family being able to sue one, the city, or two, the hundreds of people that stormed through that door. Just not going to be possible. Now, I would think they've got a fairly good chance suing Walmart, if nothing else, just for the workers' comp. But it's going to be an interesting case to see play through. There was another, I'm not sure if you heard about this, but there was another case down at Toys R Us where two guys shot each other.
Wow.
And they pulled guns out and shot each other in a Toys R Us. Now, I'm not 100% sure what that was over, but it's ridiculous what human greed is coming to.
Yeah, why would you go to the toy store? A toy store is supposed to be for kids with a gun.
Yeah,
why would you go to the toy store with
a
gun? We got some like, may really wanted that Elmo, says I'm going prepared and armed. I don't know, it's still not funny, but you know.
Right.
I haven't done my Christmas shopping yet, Fernando, but I can assure you when I do, I'll be wearing my bulletproof vest.
make sure you check the list. Make sure there's Fernando's in there, Frodo's in there. No, the lawyers, actually, the family lawyers, I was reading the articles of it, I think, you know, they have a case here because of it was apparent to them that the Walmart stores lack an adequate security to handle the crowds, and also the door, shut, it was locked, it was not properly shut. And that's, you know, I was like, that's like you're saying, Tom, I do agree with you that Walmart has to be, you know, somewhat would be held liable for this incident.
I don't know if it's necessarily Walmart, but it could be a whole conglomerate of stores. I mean, everybody advertised having the lowest prices available that day. Now, I mean, of course they're going to advertise having the lowest prices available. That's how they're going to get their customers to come in. That's how they're going to make their money.
Right. But,
you know, by allowing people to line up at 1 in the afternoon the day before, you know, you're almost expecting a mob mentality. So,
Exactly.
Like I said, I think Walmart is going to feel the burden on this one. I do think the family does have a very good case against them.
Yep, I agree with you 100% on that. And would you think, would you agree that, you know, as far as like Kohl's and, you know, big establishment, like, what do we have here? Like, what do you have, Tanger, you know?
Yeah, Tanger Mall opened up at midnight on Thanksgiving evening.
So what happened there? Do you have any?
I haven't heard anything that happened there. I believe it was relatively quiet.
Control,
I mean, nobody.
Yeah.
And I mean that by nobody was trampled to death. So
I just want you to weigh in on the family in here. What do you think the family should do next? I mean, would they like maybe sign up a petition saying to stop this Black Friday thing? Get the government involved. What do you think they should do next?
Well, I don't know that they'll be able to stop the Black Friday craze. I mean, that's a national trend. And for some people, it's a holiday. But if I was the family, I would lead, you know, more towards maybe having, you know, higher security or more of an authority figures at the door, or rework their way of opening the doors, you know, maybe open one set of doors to let the people in, as opposed to, you know, opening a mall and just letting the people flood in.
Yeah, like a rush thing through, like a
right.
like a stampede, like a, you know, yeah. They, of course, they will have that mob mentality because they want to get there first, you know. And yeah, I agree with you on that one. And also maybe like, you know, maybe taking the numbers.
I've seen some stores use a number system, and I mean that way you pull in the parking lot, you get a number, that's your number. I mean, there's no fighting, there's no arguing. And, you know, they call you just like at a deli or bakery, now serving number 27, now serving number 28.
Except for, they would have, like, people might, like, hurt people in the parking lot for their number.
Well, I mean, the store can't be liable for, you know, people in the parking lot, you know.
Yeah. So that would work. I mean, it's something that, you know, they would have to implement, and that's something that we don't want anyone, you know, like next Black Friday. I think they would think twice, and they would, you know, take that extra precautionary steps to prevent that another death.
Sure.
But yeah, let's move on over here. I do need to talk a little bit more of let me see here. All right. Okay, well, you know, this is from getting strampled to getting whatever you want to call this. A recent survey conducted by Senior Citizen, a group of ARP, found that retired Americans are happier even though they are having less sex and doing more housework. And that's what the report says. 38% of the respondents ages, you know, between 55 and 75 said their relationships were made stronger by retirement despite the fact that they were sleeping more and watching more television. Now, Tom, I want to go with you first. Is this something you're really looking forward to when you get old?
You've kind of gone from one extreme to the other, haven't you, Frodo?
That's me.
Am I looking forward to retirement? Yes. If I had the chance, I'd retire today. I mean, you know, you definitely got to put your time in. My father has put in over 31 years with one company before he retired. So, you know, you got to earn your stripes sort of thing, you know.
Exactly.
And definitely
also,
looking forward to it.
Yeah. And then it says, despite an increase in leisure time, 25% of men, get this, and 19% of women in the survey said that they had less sex during retirement than when they were working. Now, it appears men are spending their free time doing household chores, like, you know, cleaning garages or whatnot. 80% of retired men said they had increased their chores workload. I mean, it's a different thing. It's just you know, I mean, some of the ones I like, I'm 33 years old. You know what I mean? I tend to make to like maybe do a little more around the house when we do get old. I mean,
well,
but,
my thinking behind that is now that you're retired, you have the time to do it. You know, you're not running to work, you know, spending 8-9 hours at work and then coming home tired. You eat, you watch TV, you go to bed, you do the same thing again the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
exactly.
I've noticed, like, I'm going to use my dad here still. With his retirement, once he's retired, he was able to do more stuff around the house just because
mm-hmm.
he had the time. You know, he's got
right.
his list of to-do things. You know, he wants to work on this, this, and this. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, if he gets maybe one or two of the things done on the list, no big deal. He can work on it tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, just a very small of percentage of retirees, actually, that, you know, they get to spend more things around the house and getting things done. There's actually a large amount of retired people that are actually still working, and that's a sad thing. Now, Don, I want to go with you, Don.
Sure, the Walmart greeter.
Yeah. Walmart greeter getting trampled, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Don, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I want to go with you a little quick here. I know that you're still young and you have a good-looking husband. Is this something that are you going to be like complaining? You know, you're not, you know what I mean? Because there's the report says despite a difference, the 74% of respondents agreed they were happier than the 21% who said retirement led to more tensions. Now the question is, is that going to be a problem?
Is what going to be a problem?
It's less, you know, in things in bed. Is that going to be a problem when you retired and, like, when you reach, you know, 55 or 75?
I'm already retired.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, you're a housewife,
anyway.
You're retired. Well, you don't.
Anyway.
You do a lot of stuff around the house.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What do you
think
on that?
As I'm getting older, like, I think I enjoy cleaning house. It's more relaxing now.
And
my husband, Fernando, is looking forward to retiring at 40 years old. So he's, you know, putting some time in, but not as much as, you know. And so so I am not looking forward to if our sex life is going to go down with each other.
Okay.
So
that
I still
want to
have,
do you want me to call back in, like, 20 minutes or what?
No, this is good. This is good. So yeah, let me you kids are loud. I was gonna pick up another caller, but actually just fell off. Anyway, so so the 80% of respondents ages 55 to 75, and the relationship between that thing. And I know that Tom, you have like what, two wives?
No,
that...
wrong guy. I'm still
okay.
Looking for a willing participant.
There you go. Now, is that, I mean, are you really, really looking forward to, like, when you're tired of doing things around the house? I mean, is that something that people really want to do?
Well, I don't think
that's
people are looking
right?
forward to having to do
yeah.
work around the house, but I think they're, you know, looking forward to, you know, to be honest, you know, sit at home and watch TV and still have a check come every month for, you know, money. And, you know, if stuff needs to be done around the house, you do it at your leisure.
Is that what, yeah. Majority, you know, that's what they think. They get checked out, and then all of a sudden they're, whoa, it's gone.
Yeah.
Now, from being retired to actually just, this is creepy. Actually, there was a doctor volunteering in Congo. Congo is past, it's almost like a third world country. Well, it is. Well, actually, a doctor there performed the complex amputation to save a boy's life by following instructions sent by a text message from colleagues in London. And,
wow.
And, it, you know, I want to touch up on that one. His name is David Knott, N-O-T-T.
What?
Sounds familiar. Yeah, David Knott.
Really? Is that the guy you're going to interview on Sunday?
No,
that
would be Brian Knott.
Are they related?
I don't think so. I sure hope not. This guy's 50 years old, a vascular surgeon, was working for a medicine center, San Fraturas Hospital in the eastern town of, Rustaru, an area ravaged by bloody battles between Congolese and rebel troops. Now, the question is, I mean, would you, I mean, if his I know that it's in Congo over there somewhere. I mean, would you let that, Tom, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
If a doctor is going to amputate your arm or any one of your limbs, I mean, would you let them do it when they threw the text messages?
Well, you know, you have to look at the situation. I don't believe he had much of a choice, you know, depending on what the reason he was. That he was amputating the arm for, you know, if it was, you know, had some sort of disease and that, you know, it would have saved life, you know, saved my life by, you know, amputating my arm through text message. Yeah, take it off, lop it off, have at it. Here, use my phone.
All right. How about circumcision? Would you still want to do that?
Well, now slow down for now, Amanda.
Yeah, that would
hope to at least have a diagram.
Right, exactly. Just get the blueprint out. Make sure you know what you're doing. You know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the boy was one of the among hundreds of wounded soldiers and civilians, you know, brought into the hospital. Like that was way back in October. You know, the kid is only 16 years old, who had been caught in the midst of gunfight between dense incompetents and force in Niazali region. Is that what you call it? The boy said that he had felt a heavy blast beside him and woken up later with his brother screaming beside him and his arm totally destroyed, so he had to amputate that. He walked out in force towards soldiers who could not help him. Now, the local people found him and escorted him to a nearby clinic. You see, the question here is, you know, Dawn, I want to question some little things in here. I know that the UN not really paying attention in Congo. I don't think they do because otherwise, you know, they would be spending more time in Congo than spending billions of dollars getting their place renovated. You think that as citizens, you know, we have this responsibility to help other people, a place like Congo.
Congo is not part of the U.S., right?
No, Congo is over there at the Africa. It's like, you know, there's a lot of war going on there.
Well, I don't really think that it's our responsibility as a citizen, but I think that in God's eyes, it is like, you know, it is something that he would want us to do is like to help others in need and to try to speak up for them. So I think like it's not necessarily because we're citizens of America, but citizens of God's kingdom that we should like, you know, speak up for them because they're helpless, and that's what the Bible says, speak up for the helpless.
That's a good thing. But the UN has recently just spent actually like $1.5 billion, you know, to throw a party, actually, and also there's a base in New York, and they're spending additional about a little over $1 billion to renovate that place. Tom, is that something that, they can spend a lot of money in there, but they can't really, you know, I mean, what do you think?
You say $1.5 billion to throw a party?
Yeah, 1.7, I think.
Holy cow.
Yeah, they had some kind of inauguration or something party they had, you know, back in UN place, whatever they do their party. And also they just reinvented the New York base over there that's in New York, and they're renovating it, I think it's been renovated. But they spend like about an additional $1 billion, you know. Now, I know that the United States is, you know, we have a large sum of funding that's given into UN. Do you think maybe you should step on that to where this step in and you know, maybe not stopping them, but, you know, let them know that, hey, you guys are spending a lot of money, but not getting things done. What do you think the U.S. should do, Tom?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, the UN, you know, I'm going to be honest, I'm not 100% sure what they do. Are they kind of the ones that keep everybody happy? Keep all the countries happy? You know, you can't bomb them, you know.
No, not the person in the truck stop. Not that kind of making people happy. The UN is, you know, it's supposedly like a mediocre, you know, between like countries.
Well, it's like United Nations. It's where all the governments
United
come
Nations,
together.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They have to appoint a leader, or this in this case it's like what is this, being Ban Moon or something like that from South Korea. Recently was the one before that was, I believe, is Anon or something like that. But anyway, that's besides the point. I want to move on, shall we? Move
okay.
on.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll move on. Now this is a little bit off the topic here. Called Romania. You guys both know, the callers knows where Romania is, right? It's in Eastern Europe, Romania.
It's in Europe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's in Europe somewhere there. And saying that people are calling it, Romania is taking a step backward because of they're actually got rid of the evolution teaching in their school. Yeah.
That's good.
Romania's, the theory of evolution from the school curriculum, could be evidence of the conservative tendency in teaching over there in Romania. But a lot of people get mad though. Now the religious, especially religious studies, the professors, and all that, and they always argue and say, that you can't teach science without the evolutions. Now here's my question. I'm gonna go to with you, Tom, real quick. Are they really taking a step backward, or is that really a big leap for the, I know that you're an atheist. Well, are you? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And do you think this is an actual big leap or a step backward for them?
Well, I wouldn't.
Well, they totally got rid of that. They got rid of, there's no theory. Like in our school, we have, a theory of evolution being taught in the school, and
right.
yet we have, the creationists is just kind of there's no place in the creationism in the school system now in our system.
Well, the way I my stance on it is I was born and raised Catholic,
mm-hmm.
was religious for so many years. I've kind of taken a step away from religion. It's not completely out of my life, but I'm not as hardcore
right.
as I was
mm-hmm.
before. I don't necessarily believe that evolution is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
I can see proof and evidence of evolution. And of course, I believe in creation too, but I just believe evolution is what evolution is. It's the adapting and overcoming of obstacles and hurdles of life proceeding on. I don't believe that you should not teach the creation stories
mm-hmm.
And or the evolution. I believe that, whatever the religious views are, it doesn't matter to me. There should be a choice.
Right, and that's what it is. Yeah, and that's what the Bible teaching, and yes, you do have to choose based on your beliefs and based on what's revealed to you. Whether it be
mm-hmm.
like in the Bible, if God, like myself, God revealed to me about creationism and the difference between creation and evolution. Yeah, that's me. And other people should too, and should really look into it. Not because people telling or media. Telling them evolution is true or creation is true. It's just, do their own research. Do your own research. Now, Don, I want to go with you real quick here, and we'll move on. The Romania has actually taken the heat from other countries about doing something like this. Now, is this something that maybe they made a mistake doing it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's really, why do people get all worked up when creationism is mentioned? Like, a lot of people say that there's not a God, and they want to believe in evolution and saying that we evolved from apes. But then all of a sudden, when creation, and they want freedom of speech, evolutionists want and atheists want freedom of speech. But when it's there's another side of the story. There's God created the world. Then they get all worked up about it. Well, it must mean that there's something there. That's my opinion on that.
Okay. Well, let's move on here from evolution and creation to something big. Oprah. I know. Now, I don't know following news in here about, remember that before the elections when Oprah said that, she would not have Palin on her show because, she's in a tank with Obama, and it will be, uh, it will it would be hurtful for Obama's campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, now she's actually, you know, she wanted, now Oprah wants Palin to go on the show, and Palin's actually, I don't know, she made a statement that, you know, she would not go on her show. Now, did really Sal Palin snub Oprah Winfrey? I don't know. Maybe not. That's actually the most popular daytime talk show, you know, Barack Obama supporter, and he was interviewed with the entertainment show Extra, and she said, Oprah says, and she quote, I said I would be happy to talk to Sarah Palin when the election was over. I went and tried to talk to Sarah Palin. Instead, she talked to Greta Van Susteren, and she talked to Matt Lauer, she talked to Larry King, but she didn't talk to me. Now she's complaining. Now, would you blame, though, I know that, Tom, I know that you're in the tank with Obama, and you did your Obama celebration already.
Yes, I do.
Do you think that it is publicity stunt by Oprah that she wants really Palin, but not, you know?
Well, I think, you know, again, Oprah's going to do whatever she needs to do to get the votes. Well, we all know what happened on, the November 2nd. You know, Obama was elected, or is now our president-elect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's over and done with. It's history. He was a favorite going through most of the campaign. And I can believe, you know, him being a strong, independent black male. I can see Oprah, you know, latching onto his coattails for her publicity, too. I give Sarah Palin a lot of credit for saying, no, you know, I'm not going to do your show. You didn't want to talk to me before. Why would I want to talk to you now?
Exactly.
I would agree with her completely.
Yep. That and Oprah Winfrey's comments that, you know, it came to, you know, that's a response to rumors that she refused to that, you know, yada, yada, back in the day, then before the elections. And then the talk show, Oprah has actually announced that she will tape her Inauguration Week show in the nation capital. This is like what, in January? What is that?
Yeah.
January 20th.
Something like that. The 20th, okay.
Yeah.
And she quoted and said that they're in, everyone will see, and, you know, the yada, 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 there's just much of blah, blah, blah about Obama's things. I'm sick of it already. Now, I want to go with you, Don. Is this... do you think Sarah Palin would ever, hypothetically said that Sarah Palin would go on Oprah Winfrey's show? What do you think Sarah Palin would say or should say?
I don't know. Like, you said hypothetically, right?
Right. You know, hypothetically says, okay, Oprah, I'll go to your show, and let's talk about, you know, the campaign and whatnot. You know, what do you? How,
well, I mean, like,
what do you think, and how she reacts, you know, during the show? This is during the show. Let's say I'm Oprah. It's like, hey, Palin, what's up?
I think, like, well, if she decided to go, she could just, like, you ever hear of killing somebody with kindness? Not, like, really killing them, but, like, you know, you know, loving your enemies. Like,
right,
you know, she
right.
is kind of like her enemy. I mean, I'm not saying that she's, like, enemy, but, like, enemy that, like, she was against her, but now all of a sudden she's for her, you know, and go to the show, and she should, you know, act like she don't even know remember what Oprah did, you know, to not just ignore that, because otherwise if she remembers how, like, you know, Oprah refused her to be on the show, she might be tempted to be angry and be boiling, you know, if she just chose to forgive and forget and just, I mean, I'm not saying that she's not going to forgive, but I'm just saying hypothetically if she went on a show, say, like, you know, I'm just gonna answer her questions and trust that the Lord Jesus Christ is gonna give her the answers, you know, because
mm-hmm.
she seems like a very wise person, and, you know, if she has wisdom coming from God, Jesus knew how to handle the Pharisees when they were questioning him, and Jesus can
mm-hmm.
give her the wisdom of how to,
exactly.
even if the Oprah wants to try to catch her, you know, to try to kind of, like, maybe Oprah's really working for Obama, that, you know, that, you know, she wants to be on his campaign, and maybe she's going to fill him in on some stuff, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
she just, you know, same situation. Jesus had the wisdom, and he can give it to Sarah Palin, too. So that's my
question. Basically, you're saying, yeah, basically go back to the things as what would Jesus do? I mean, you,
mm-hmm.
you have to, yeah.
Exactly.
That's, okay. Now let's move on a little bit here, and I want to talk about some of the you know, off the politics and on to like maybe something fun. Okay, what I'm gonna do is hold on a second here. I just want to make sure that you still, are you still there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still here. I don't know why you have.
I'm gonna give you a bill for my phone bill here.
So
free.
Yeah, we're gonna go freestyle today. Now, what I'm saying is just like maybe, what do you guys want to talk about? Is there something that you guys in mind? You know, because we only have like maybe 15 minutes on time here on air. You know, again, I think for all the listeners to be logging into the chat room, and thank you for Tom for calling in, and thank you Dawn for calling in also, and you know, that's what do you guys want to talk about? Tom, what's in your mind?
Oh, not too much right now.
Weather?
I'm just
weather.
Everything in weather. Yeah, I'm a little surprised by the weather. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm a little glad that our area fell short of what they were predicting. They were saying the 5 to 7 inches, and we only got about 1 or 2. So definitely happy that the weathermen messed that one up.
Yeah, they always do, Tom. They always do. The weather. You know. I don't know what to say about that, but it was freaking cold when I woke up. It was just, man.
I hate to tell you, it's still freaking cold.
Well, yeah, but I'm inside right now. Are you outside?
No, I'm inside, but I know it's still cold outside. That's why I'm staying inside.
So, what do you call that? Yeah, I don't know what you guys what do you guys think about the. Hold on a second. Let me grab my paper here. All right, now, you know, it's not politics. It's world views. It's whatever you want to call that. Now, there's a rumor. There's a rumor that Israel is actually preparing to attack Iranians, you know, whatever. Iranians, nuclear thingy that they have over there in Iran without U.S. consent. Now, are they? Do you think they're going to do that, Tom?
I'm not sure. I haven't been following that too much lately. I haven't had a chance to. I'm just going to say that I'm not going to plead the fifth, sort of. Uninformed at this point.
Go ahead.
Uninformed at this point.
Okay.
I don't have enough to make an opinion.
All right. And what do you think about that, Don?
I don't know. Like, I mean, has Iran attacked them yet?
You throwing us curveballs on purpose here, Frodo, or what?
Yeah, this is a total. No, I mean, I'm going off the subject here, and you guys are off guard here.
But I mean, like, I was just gonna say that, you know, if Iran hasn't really attacked, well, first of all, whatever the Lord leads the prime minister to do, because Israel is like God's children, it says so in the Bible, you know, so I don't want to say anything negative about them. So first saying whatever the Lord leads them to do, they'll do, hopefully they will do. Otherwise, like if they don't attack them, that at least they're prepared. So if Iran attacks, then they can fight back. You know,
That's good. You guys, Tom, you've been following football, you know, sports.
Well, I know the Packers didn't have such a good weekend this week.
Don't they ever?
Well, they had a good week against the Bears, and that was okay.
I like that. Yeah, that's kind of a yeah. The last game before that, and the game that, well, who did they play against the last time?
They just played against Carolina.
Was that against Carolina?
To Carolina.
Yeah, they did. They blew that one. They blew that one out. But anyway,
minutes too late.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's weigh in. I don't know if you know Plaxico Burress, the one that got caught with
Plaxico
the...
Oh, Plaxico Burress.
Yeah,
yes.
With the weapon.
He's been talking a conversation, yes.
Yeah, sadly...
We were chatting the other day at work that, you know, it's just foolish. You know, the guy makes how many million dollars a year? And then he's sitting there drinking with a gun in his waistband, and it starts to slip, so he grabs for it and shoots himself in the leg. Now, you know, this may lead back to what we were talking about earlier, but that sounds like a little bit of Darwinism at its finest.
Right. There
you go. He's not smart enough to, you know, mind his P's and Q's when he's, you know, got money riding on his, you know, his physical well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes his money there, and
he
shoots himself in the leg.
Yeah. That is just something that, you know, like we're talking, I mean, like he said that, you know, the lawyer was saying that Tonya, that he had no idea that, you know, Plaxico had a weapon, you know, I mean, that's, I mean, what? I'm like, this Plaxico
Who
bird,
had no
man.
Idea?
Apparently the attorney, the attorney of Mike, was that Michael something, Backner?
Lawyer didn't
lawyer,
know he had a
lawyer,
weapon?
Yeah, lawyer of Plaxico, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, so I had no idea that...
They're actually going to be filing formal charges against him for concealed weapon.
Mm, yeah.
So that, look for that in the days to come.
Yeah, we'll see that. Mm.
So, Fernando, do you
yeah.
have any, like, show? What's your next show going to be about?
Oh, are you asking me?
Yep, my question for you.
Oh,
you said
wow.
We're gonna
you're turning... You're turning the table, yeah. Yeah,
you know we can ask Fernando questions.
Yeah, let's go ask Frodo questions. No, the next, actually, I'm going to be gone for the weekend, and then Sunday, hopefully I'll be doing a show in Illinois, Sunday, 7 p.m. Central, Tom, if you're going to be, if you're gonna, you know, I don't know if you're going to be working, I don't know if you're going to be flying in your jet, going to your one of your big convention with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think we're actually going to be down in the South Bahamas Sunday, so I don't know.
7 p.m. Central, I'm going to be interviewing Brian Knott. That's the same Knott guy with amputated the guy with through a text message. But no, that's not the same guy. Brian Knott is from Washington. Is actually Market America distributor. The you know, I'm going to interview him because he this you know he has this. Ways of getting a Market America rewards program. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Tom. That is when you shop through a website, you can actually get a rewards, like a point base, and you can use that towards a product of your choice. You know, a product can be like maybe like 500 or 600 points. Was that Dawn?
641 is the lowest, I think.
640 is the lowest one. Okay, but this dude has actually racked up. How many?
33,000.
33,000 MA rewards. You know, I want to find out how he does it and how he did it. That's why this is on the 7th, and it's already confirmed. If anything changes, it's going to be on my website or a blog, aholeinthemiddle.blogspot.com, or it will be on blogtalkradio.com. So just keep an eye on it. blogtalkradio.com/greatinferno. And I want to know why.
My question would be, what's he going to get?
What am I going to get? I'm going to get, like, you know...
You.
The
guy who's got the... Brian Knott. What's he going to get with his 33,000 points?
Oh, he's actually... He can, you know, return that or exchange that with products that of his choice.
Right. I want to know what product he's going to get. Stick with me here, Frodo.
Oh, what kind of product he's going to get?
Yeah.
You'll have to call in and ask him.
You have to call him and ask him, and he's like, hey, Brian, what did you get? What are you getting? Are you going to give me something?
Yeah.
But he apparently, yeah, go ahead, Don.
You can get anything from, like, well, you don't wear makeup, but, you know, girls can get anything from makeup, or guys can buy it for a girl or whatever.
Yeah.
Makeup all the way to, like, fabric softener, all the way up to, like, water
Pants,
filters, like
shirt,
really good water filters and
filters,
things like that.
Stuff like that. Yeah, so that's the upcoming thing. And also, I have not set up a interview yet, but I will be pretty soon. I'll be interviewing a gal from Florida. Is actually the aspiring musician. I can't even say that.
Musician.
Exactly. Her name is Jovi Jimenez. Actually, she got an email from her saying that she's going to get together with her manager. She's going to let me know, and, you know, she's really excited to be on my show, because everyone's really excited to be on my show. and
it
after that, I...
participation when I got the text message.
He couldn't wait to just like, were you like stumbling when you're dialing?
I was falling over myself.
You're funny. So yeah, and after that, that's you know, and we play by ear. And I get a lot of email. I mean, not a lot. Two is a lot to me, but I got two emails saying that you want to be on my show. But however, one of them is like 9/11 conspiracy theorists. He wants to talk about the 9/11, how it was like controlled demolition and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah. Nah, not on my show, not this show. And the other one is like, the other one was just, the other email I got the other day was just plain like, you know, I want to get together with you and have me on my show, and I want to get to know you more. So I'm like, so I emailed her back, and I was like, what do you think about a married man with 5 kids? No, that was a joke. No, I emailed and I was like, no, you know, you're spamming me. And, you know, you get, when you open up something like this, is, you know, you get, a you know, emails and spam and stuff like that, and want to, you know, get things getting your nerves. But enough about me. What you have any questions, Tom?
Questions? No, I don't. I'm good for the evening. I'm going to relax in. Like I said, I'm feeling under the weather, so I might have a cup of tea and some chicken noodle soup and just enjoy an evening on the couch.
What kind of tea are you having tonight?
I believe it's Lipton.
Lipton? Oh, my goodness. You don't, man, you know, you can go to shoppingsuperhighway.com to get some tea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Do I get like a call-in discount or what?
You know, maybe I should do that. Call-in discount and, you know, but no. Sorry to buzz your bubble, but no.
Staff expected to have some sort of radio game show here, you know, guess the color of Fernando's shirt or something.
Well, you want to do that? I mean, I can set that up.
I think Bob would have an unfair advantage at this point.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, we still, after that, we still need to get together to have an interview about your business in a few Tom, if you have maybe a minute or so, go ahead and, you know, what do you do and with your website and, you know.
Sure. I'm with my company's name is Alliance Security Protection. You can look us up at the www.alliancesecurityprotection.com, all spaced together. We provide personal and private property security, monitoring and watching, you know, people's property for them, just basic security services. Also do personal protection for people that need that sort of stuff. We're going to be introducing patrol services to the Dells, Wisconsin Dells, Lake Delton, and Baraboo areas here after the first of the year. We'll be checking businesses, stuff like that, make sure businesses are secured and safe, and business owners can sleep well at night knowing that we're on the job.
Exactly. Now, what's your website again? Because I only got like maybe 1 minute over here. What is your website again, Tom?
AllianceSecurityProtection.com.
AllianceProtectionSecurity.com. Okay. Well, actually,
AllianceSecurityProtection.com.
I think I got that. AllianceSecurityProtection.com.
Yep.
All right. I'm writing that down. I'm a slow writer. But, okay. This is it for today. This is it for today. Thank you for calling in, Tom Murphy, and thank you for calling Dawn. And this is another segment of Great Inferno Show. Next week, tune in. What is that, Sunday? Yeah, Sunday, 7 p.m. Central, here at blogtalkradio.com/Great Inferno. Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Dawn. Good night.
Thank you.
Are you ready? Ready to wake up?
There were days I was wondering whether I'd feed the kids or pay the mortgage, so as far as retirement, it was last on my list.
Honestly, I never thought I'd be able to retire at the rate we were going. And with our business taking a downward turn, it didn't look promising. And the future was kind of bleak as far as we were concerned. I just figured I was going to work until I died.
When we sat down with the financial planner, it's kind of just a wake-up call. We were just living paycheck to paycheck, so we were struggling. And when she said, you're going to live on less, you know, that was very scary. Kind of put us in shock.
I was thinking we couldn't retire because we didn't have enough to put aside, and I really didn't think I'd be able to sell the business.
Americans are more worried about their financial future than at any time in the past 30 years. 10,000 baby boomers are turning 50 every day. For many of them, the question is not when they can retire, it's if they can retire. As many as 40% of Americans have saved nothing for retirement. It's as if we're asleep at the wheel. We have no idea how or if we'll pay for our retirement, let alone hitting a bump in the road along the way. It's time to wake up. Say you're 40 years old and make $50,000 a year. You'll need more than $1 million saved for retirement at age 65. Seem like a lot? It is. But even scarier than that number is the fact that a third of all baby boomers over 55 say they've saved less than $50,000. $50,000? That's hardly a start. And listen to this. More than half of all working families don't have a private retirement savings account. Here's why we now need so much money to retire. We're living longer, many of us to well beyond 80. So we need more money to pay for those extra years. The cost of medical care is escalating. Some experts predict healthcare costs could eventually cripple the economy. Entitlements like Social Security and Medicare that your parents expected are now faltering. The average retired worker right now gets just $900 a month from Social Security. The help you'll get from those programs is at best uncertain. If you've contributed anything to your workplace 401k, there's no guarantee of retirement funds. It's all based on the volatile stock market, which could turn at any time. The situation is so bleak that 78 million baby boomers now face what Time magazine calls a powerful set of trends that will leave many unable to stop working until they're at least 70, maybe long after. Working in our 70s, 80s, it's hardly the retirement of our dreams. If you're just starting out and figure none of this will affect you, wrong. American retirees in the year 2030 will have $45 billion less in retirement income than they need to just cover the basics. The basics.
I owned my own investment agency for 10 years. I had less than a dozen people that had over $100,000 put away, which is certainly not going to get you anywhere today. And most people, I don't think, realize that if you want to retire on $5,000 a month at a 5% return on your money, a 5% interest rate, you need roughly $1.2 million set aside by the time you retire.
For everyone, from middle-aged people to those just entering the workforce, income, savings, and the possibility of retirement are in jeopardy. Have you checked your company's retirement plan recently? Most of today's retirement plans no longer guarantee you income and benefits as long as you live. Instead, they're based on money you're asked to save yourself. Fewer than half of America's workers aren't contributing anything. Even if you do contribute, whether the investments grow into a decent retirement fund is your personal risk, not your company's. Best-selling financial educator and entrepreneur Robert Kiyosaki says in his audio, The Perfect Business, job security is a joke, and your 401k and mutual...
Good night, everyone. This is Great Inferno again. Go to my website, www.shopinsuperhighway.com, to get more information.